Welcome to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio's Vacation Station Travel Show. Every fourth Tuesday of the month, we get to catch up with travel writer Debbie Stone. We call her the Fire Monkey. She got that name from a monk in Bhutan. She is a world traveler, as you can tell, and she's joining us to talk about her latest adventure in France. This was on a barge cruise through Burgundy. Oh, so do you think wine was involved? I mean, we're not even allowed. We don't have Burgundy wine in this country anymore. And I think there's a reason for it. But do you remember Burgundy wine? But anyway, she went out again with this amazing barge company. You can go to europeanwaterways.com to kind of check out their website and see what we're talking about. And also click through to her article about the experience on blendradioandtv.com. All the links we're talking about are in the radio show notes, no matter where you're listening from, be it YouTube, Facebook, Listen Notes, Google Podcasts, Apple, wherever it is. You've got it there. So welcome back, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing well. Great to be back. How are you?
Doing good. And I just called you Debbie. See, 1 minute it's Debbie, 1 minute it's the Fire Monkey. See?
You're confusing these listeners.
I know.
Really?
Well, listen, now, you know, but the Burgundy, as soon as I was like, you know, and number one, Burgundy is like one of the coolest colors, right? But Burgundy, France.
Yeah.
So what Burgundy wine, isn't that kind of the same thing? Because I know you talk about this in your article too, about champagne, right? We can't make champagne other than in Champagne, right?
Right.
But
you know,
Burgundy,
everything has to be, but Burgundy is no, you know, it's an area in France, a couple hours outside of Paris. You know, they make wine, and there, you know, you can visit Chablis in the Burgundy area, which of course we know the town of Chablis and Chablis mm-hmm. wine, you know, and, you know, you can visit the region of Champagne, which this barge cruise does, and then taste the champagnes that are made there and also the wines that are made there. You know, so this trip is a wonderful trip for people who are interested in those particular libations or just are really interested in seeing the scenery of this area, which is so bucolic and so beautiful with the vineyards and these wonderful, you know, medieval villages. And it's a combination of, and of course, food, you know, glorious food. The company European Waterways, their barge cruises are known for having incredible gourmet food and with an incredible chef on board that just will make everybody really sad at the end of the cruise when they realize the chef's not going with them. So,
right. You know, that's the thing about these barge cruises. I find this fascinating because these are really like historic barges, right? That, you know, used to take cargo, right? And so now, well, this is a little different, right? Are these historic, or are these like a barge? Explain the boat thing, because most of us, like, whenever you hear a barge, I go right to like bays where you see them going in San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, you see the big barges carrying stuff. So let's talk about what the barge is, so people understand, because it's pretty darn luxurious from what I looked at.
Yes, and these barges definitely are, you know, historic barges. For example, the one I was on, La Belle Epoque, I don't speak French very well, was actually built in 1930. And so the company then refurbished them. And so they have these beautiful, sleek, basically luxury hotel barges. And they have almost 20 of them. I think that's what our captain told us. They usually and they go within Europe. They go across Europe from, you know, France and into Ireland and Italy and Scotland, and 9 countries is what
wow.
you know you can choose from. But yeah, they're all the format is basically a six night, I believe is what I said. It is a six night all-inclusive type of vacation. And it is wonderful because they take care of everything. So this one, for example, we met in Paris. They picked us up in Paris and took us to their barge. And on my barge, the maximum passengers was 12, but there were only 8 of us, which was wonderful because there was basically a crew of 5 and then there was 8 passengers. So you can imagine the personal attention that you get, the service that you get. And so it's wonderful. And, you know, people might be, some people might think, oh, you know, I'm going to be with a bunch of strangers. Well, my husband and I were the outliers, so to speak, as I say in the story. There were 6 people, 6 from the United States, and they were all friends. And then there was us too. And when you think about that, you think, oh, you know, maybe that's not going to, you know, how is that going to work? But I'll tell you, you know, within moments, you know, we were like a part of this group and they were fun and great stories, great sense of humor. And they, you know, really welcomed us into their group of friends, so to speak. So I think that that is kind of the nature of it. And there are people that are just individual solo travelers that go on this. There are families that go on this, you know, friends, couples that will do this. They even, you can charter the boat and have your own group. It's a wonderful way of, I think, meeting people and people that I think are, I don't know, I think that they're kinship. They share the, you know, a love of travel, a love of good food, a love of wine, and, you know, good conversation. And so to me, it's a win-win situation. So I always tell people, no, go, you know, do it. Don't be worried that you're going to be with people that you don't know, you know.
And the barges are pretty. Well, I like meeting new people that way. And it's an adventure together because it makes you get out of your comfort zone. You know what I mean? It's like,
absolutely.
Okay. And it's like, okay. And it reminds you the art of conversation comes back. And you're all experiencing something new. It's like when they have happy hours at bed and breakfast or hotels, right?
Right.
You meet people. And for some reason, you tell stuff that you would never tell anybody. I don't know.
Absolutely.
It's weird how that happens, but it's honestly true. But when you look at the barges, they're so charming. Like when you look at the one that you were on, La Belle, I'm just going to say La Belle or La Belle, but it says France, so maybe La Belle. It is charming. Look at the colors on it, the painting. And then you can see it's a barge, but it's so cute because you've got flowers on the side. And you were going down these beautiful canals where, you know, you could see that the beginning of spring was happening. But you can eat on deck and drink wine while you're floating. Like, seriously, this is
absolutely. It's a really special environment that they have created. And, you know, they have this lovely, like, the main area, like a salon that's got a little bar and then the dining room, and people just gather and they gather on the deck when it's nice and sit out and they watch, you know, watch the world go by. There's a hot tub on deck. There's bikes that you can use. And in fact, what happens, because the barge goes very, very slow through these canals. And there's, you know, we went through, you know, 30 some locks that are still basically from, you know, when they were created umpteen years ago. And there's a lock keeper who meets you at the lock to be able to help the boat go through the lock. And it's a whole process. And it's fascinating to watch. It's part of the whole experience is to watch going through these locks. But you go so very slowly so that if you want to get off, you get off at a lock. And you, there's the towpaths, the pathways that go right along the canal. And you can walk for as long as you want and wait for the barge to come, because believe me, you can probably walk, you do walk faster than the barge. You can get on a bike and hop around and ride around the area and villages. They'll give you maps. You can, you know, you can get as much activity as you want. So if you, you know, if you would like to work off some of that wonderful food and the delicious meals, you can just get off and do that. And that's what we did every day. We enjoyed doing that. And different people would, you know, you'd meet different people along the way. And a lot of them were very curious about the barge and they'd want to go look at it and talk to you. And there were other.
Oh, Debbie, did you go? That's my barge. It's my barge. I'll give you a ticket
for six nights. Okay.
It's my barge, and if you want to see it, like, you have to buy me, a case of really good Chablis. You know, I'm just saying. Yes. Like, here we go. Like, you start. You know, but I'm just kidding. But it's so cool because it looked like you were in beautiful weather. You know, where it's not too hot too, and then and just like the beginning of spring is so exciting because you could see the change of colors. And but you went so you can cycle or walk or do what you want and get into the little villages, because where you're floating through,
right? And
it looks so,
you
know, charming, you know.
And it's very, you know, it's a very leisurely pace trip. It's wonderful. It really enforces you to, or compels you to, slow down in your life. And, you know, whether you've come from the very energetic and hectic city of Paris, and now you're in this beautiful bucolic countryside, and you're just meandering through these canals, and it just is such a delightful way to travel. I mean, you could get really used to this type of travel. And in fact, it was so funny because the group I was with were like, you know, should we just chain ourselves to the boat, and they can't take us off at the end of the boat, and we can just stay on? And it was just, I mean, they, you know, people just end up loving it. And, you know, the six people we were with had never been on one of these before, and they just were so taken with it. And, you know, I had been on the one several years ago in Holland, and I knew basically how it went, but it was all, you know, this is a different scenery, a different, whole different country, you know, and so it's a totally different experience, but the main ingredient stays. You know, this is a really wonderfully leisurely, lovely, luxurious way of really luxuriating within your environment. And what's nice also is every day there is a curated excursion. So every day you get off the boat and they drive you to, for example, we went to Chablis, and you go to the village there, and we went to a wonderful winery called Domaine La Roche, and we learned a story about how the monks came to the town and how it all started in Chablis. And then we had wine tasting, of course. And then because this is in the Burgundy area, there are so many different chateaus that you see along the canals, and we visited several different chateaus. And
the chateau, I cannot pronounce anything French, so please, my apologies, but I'm terrible at it, but I have to say it just so she knows. Chateau de Ricey
dash Ricey-Bass. Yes,
thank you. It's Ricey, yeah. But anyway, that cellar, that, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I want to go in that cellar. That's insane.
This one was wonderful. And in this particular cruise, they, you know, you get to really rub elbows with some nobility. And so at this chateau, owned by a baron and his wife, the baroness. And so the baron makes champagne. This is in the Champagne region. So we saw his vineyards. We got to go to his production facility. And then we got to go to the chateau where we had lunch with the two. And it was wonderful because we got to ask all these different questions. And it's funny because, you know, you think about nobility and, you know, people who don't, you know, I didn't have any past experience with nobility. And you think, oh, these people are going to be stiff and maybe whatever. And it was like, they were so warm. The Baroness was just this effervescent woman who was funny and delightful. And she told us all these different stories. And so it was a wonderful way to be introduced to this and think to yourself, well, this is French nobility.
Wow. I know, because I think about you and your travels around the world. And I mean, it's like every adventure, like if you could sit down, and I know you've documented them all because you've written all these stories, and, you know, but it's kind of like wild, like the experiences you have with, you know, the people you meet. I think it's part of the story. And that's what I kind of like about this barge cruise, is like you meet people on the barge, and now it's an intimate experience, that immersion, like that immersive experience, like what Nancy and I do with As We Pet Sit Across the Country, right? You have this immersive experience, and we're meeting people from all walks of life, and it's immediately immersive, intimate, and you better all get along. You know what I mean? And so everyone's making sure of that. And then you go to your excursions, and as a writer and what you're doing, but these kinds of excursions where you're having a meal with somebody, not just, you know, there's a tour, which you learn things. There's classes, which we've talked about on shows previously, where you get to be, that's immersive. But I think when you have a sit down lunch or dinner, whatever meal, and you're also with maybe the group that you're with on the barge, if they choose to do that excursion, now you're getting all kinds of perspectives. And I think as travel writers, we develop that because you have to think about different people's perspectives when you're writing something and thinking about something. But when you're in that kind of group setting, but not big, like crazy big,
right,
and it's intimate like that, whether or not you're a writer, it is for a writer, like really delicious. That's got to, that, you know, to sit with nobility and they're chilled out and relaxed. And yet you're having, you know, I'm looking at all the art on the walls and things, like, I'd be like, just leave me here to look at that, you know, but you're getting the story from a sit down meal. That's special, man.
And
that's
from
something
the, you know,
that,
from the,
yeah.
And from the people that, you know, this has been in the Barron's family for umpteen years. And it's, there's a history to this property. And then there's a whole thing where now what you do to maintain and to keep this property and, you know, the renovations that have to happen.
So
and
the tours help then with it, the,
yes,
you know.
And then, you know, but you learn about their family. You learn about, you know, Baroness was delightful talking to how she, you know, met the Baron and, you know, all sorts of really, you know, warm and personal kinds of stories that really, you know, really accentuated the experience for me. And we also, for example, at the Chateau Cameron, we met with a count, and whose family has had that castle since the 13th century. And he represented the 26th generation of the family, and he lives there on site. And so, you know, the castle had a moat. It was, you know, amazing. And then not only did we get to tour it, but beforehand, we had this wonderful falconry demonstration right in front of the castle, which was, you know, I mean, talk about location, you know, for something like this was just, it was wonderful, just wonderful. And then another time we visited the Fontenay Abbey, which is a UNESCO World Heritage site.
Yeah,
and
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Lots of history and, you know, just colorful stories and a wonderfully warm and experiential way to you know, really understand the part of the country that you're in. And it was delightful, just delightful.
So I've got some interesting questions for you. One, the dinners on the barge. So were you always having dinner on the barge? Was that like the norm? Because now you're going to go sleep. Okay. So one of the meals you had, because I know you're a pescatarian. See, we've also just been talking about food quite a bit here. You had fancy butter. I like that. I'm going through your photos. But you know what? I love those kind of special details because it just makes life happier.
It's all about special details.
mussels and trout. That was it.
The
trout. So from some of the chefs I know, they talk about how Europe serves the entire fish pretty much. And in America, it's interesting when we think about in England, they cut off the crust of the bread, right? You know, here in America, we don't want to see the tail, the head and everything. It doesn't look like they gave you the head of the trout, but they left a bit of the tail or the back fin. You know, I don't eat fish. I have no clue. So is it just that I don't know anything about fish or because I don't eat it? Or is that
even in our country, sometimes you'll get the whole fish, like the sea bass or whatever it is, you get the fish and it's just presented to you, or the trout, whatever. I've had it in this country as well, but you know, what was nice was, is, you know, I do not eat red meat. So the chef would, he knew this, you know, they know dietary preferences and can cook and deliver delicious meals to people who've got any types of dietary restrictions. And so, you know, I wonderfully got, you know, tuna one night and wonderfully, you know, and so I was able to, you're able to eat well, you might not be eating exactly what maybe some of the other people are eating, but it doesn't matter because, you know, they take that in consideration and you fill out a profile ahead of time in terms of your dietary restrictions. So it's wonderful. And, the chefs are, you know, very creative. We had a chef from Greece and, but you know, he knew French cooking, he knew Italian cooking, Mediterranean cooking.
Mediterranean is Greek, yeah. Ooh.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, it was a wonderful meld of those cuisines. And he was always, it was always like this adventure for our palate, you know, our taste buds were always taken on this wonderful adventure and appetizers were like amazing. And it just, you know, and then I love the fact the captain, you know, dinner bell is rung. And it's like, I said in my story, it's like that Pavlovian response. It's like, oh, the dinner bell. And all of a sudden you're like, yes, I'm ready for my 3-course dinner, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and sure. Like... and they have wines. Were the wines paired according to the meal or were they local from where you were going?
They were definitely regional. And so for lunch, we would have a choice. You could either have either or white and red to sample.
What? For lunch?
Yes, for lunch. And
because you're not driving.
Wines.
You're floating.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And then the cheeses every day, there were like a platter of different several cheeses, and they would explain and go and let you know where this cheese was from in France, what type of cheese it was, you know, and what kind of taste it might have. And so, you know, because cheese is often served mostly for dessert in France. And, you know, so, but anyway, that was always a wonderful
the cheese
experience,
board.
So.
Ooh.
Yes.
See?
So, yes,
I know.
It was great. Mm. It was wonderful. The food was, you know, food is definitely a highlight of these barge cruises. But it's
it looked like
in
the fruit.
Everything.
The fruit, I love the fruit that you were having for breakfast. And it looked the ginger cheesecake. I wonder if that, that looked like a little gooseberry in there too. Like
yes, definitely. And it was so good.
Oh, I haven't had gooseberries for so long. I was like, mm. Anyway, sorry. I got excited there. Okay, so here's my weird question. I was thinking about this because when you talked about Holland and you're saying about Amsterdam and everything and America is changing in regards to people smoking marijuana wherever they want, but it's really, there are laws about where you can, but you could be legal, but you can't do it. And you can't just light up a joint in the middle of the street. That's illegal in most of these places. Right. So it's kind of like smoking too. Like what happens on these intimate places with people who smoke? I mean, on a barge or something like
they don't allow smoking on the barge.
That is really good. It's not a weird question. It's actually something Nancy and I would be, it's important to us because we can't really be in close cigarette smoke.
Yeah. It's just a part of their thing. They don't allow it.
Oh, so, wow. I think people wonder about that, you know, because especially when it's intimate, like you could have, here's your smoking room. But on an intimate cruise like that, I would, you know, even if they smoked on deck, it would probably get to us. So like, what are the sleeping quarters like? Because I know people are going to look in and go, okay, you know, am I going to fall off the bed if we go over? And it's not bumpy because you're in a canal.
And actually, you're not when you're sleeping, the barge is stationed. So you are not moving when you're sleeping. So at night, you know, in the afternoon, you're going to get to where you're going to get to, where you're going to stay the night. So they, you know, you will get to the place of your destination and they will stop. And, you know, that's when, you know, you do not move when you're sleeping. So there is no movement. So if people are worried about that, that is definitely something that doesn't happen. And the staterooms, they're small, but they're cozy. But they're also, they have everything that you need. All the amenities are there, and there is space to put everything that you have. And in the specific areas, there's a little closet, there's drawers underneath the bed. You know, there's a place for everything.
Please.
And, you know, there's everything, you know, everybody gets a, you know, shower and a toilet in their bathroom.
Wow.
And, you know, so it's a boat. And so you have to consider that, yes, these are not going to be these palatial staterooms, but they're fine and they're comfortable. The beds were very comfortable. Everything was fine. And what I tell people is that you wouldn't be spending your day sitting in your stateroom either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're going to be up on top of, you're going to be in the salon, you're going to be talking to people, you're going to be eating, you're going to be on the deck, you're going to be off the boat, you're going to be doing excursions. So you are not sitting in your stateroom. So, you know, that is something to think about. You are really in your stateroom to sleep, basically, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, if you want to get a couple, you know, you want to take a nap or whatever it is, you can, you know, but yeah. for the most part, people, at least the people on this barge, I mean, everybody wanted to just kind of be with each other and enjoy the experience together, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really want to be napping on a barge cruise. Like,
no,
honestly,
you know, I mean, yeah, you can take a nap, you know, if you're, you know, if you're tired or you're whatever it is, but you want to, but I found that people were like, oh, I'm going to go sit out on the deck, and if I take a nap there, fine, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You catch everybody out there like zonked off, and you know, but I think, yeah, then you're not there. I mean, there's destinations you go to for that.
Yes.
If you need to catch up on sleep, you don't do something as amazing as a barge cruise.
No.
To me,
I mean, you don't want to sleep, you know? You don't want to sleep during this wonderful
time, you know? I don't ever.
Time, you know? No.
I find sleep incredibly annoying because I want to soak up absolutely everything that I possibly can. And so yeah. sleep is annoying, but then I know, like, when I have to go to sleep, I better go to sleep. I'll get crabby. So, but being on the water, it's just a magic way to sleep to me. It's like, oh, that feels good. And I want to do that. And I just think this is one of those epic things. I mean, that's what I was saying about you doing so many world travels. Is this one of those that you say was like something that was so epic, you know, just even, you know, going and meeting the barons and the counts and the countess, the baroness, the wineries, just that experience. Is that something you would say this was one of those really memorable experiences?
I think it's so special. It's so different. It's such a different way of traveling. You know, when people think about cruising, they think about these, you know, huge, ginormous cruise ships
cities.
That are, you know, 20 feet tall cities, floating yeah. cities with 3,000, 4,000 people or more. And so, you know, this is just such the opposite. And it's so special because of the fact it's so intimate and because, you know, the service is so impeccable and, you know, your needs are all taken care of. And, you know, you can just basically relax and just enjoy everything, you know, and it's at a pace that is just so luxuriating in terms of experiential travel. You know, it's just so nice. I mean, sometimes we go to places and we're like, oh my gosh, I only have a day to do this. I have a 2-day, I have to run around, you know, and so that is sometimes what happens with travel, and that's okay. That's what happens. We only have a certain amount of time in certain places, and we want to see everything. But this is the type of travel experience that is the complete opposite, and I think it's such a wonderful way to travel.
That's slow travel, you know? And I think that's something we should look at because, you know, I think we miss a lot when we rush around. And like you say, we have to, especially as travel writers, you have X amount of days, get this, go. And sometimes for travelers too, I mean, you go to a town, you can't do it all. And sometimes I just go, you know what? Like Nancy and I have got to this point now because we have so much that we have done and we're still writing and doing that we're just like, you know what, each place, let's just do one thing. Let's just do one thing, do it well. And, you know, savor it, you know, I kind of, everybody's different. Everyone is different with what they want to do. And everyone's got different ages and abilities and passions, right? And things that you want to experience. But to me, I'm at this point like, hey, I want to have that one experience of one park and oh, let's go to, if we're going to get sandwiches, let's go to the local place that we can get them from, you know?
You know, sometimes you have to value the quality over the quantity in a travel experience. And yeah, it's hard, you know, sometimes, you know, first time if somebody goes to Paris, well, yeah, they have a bucket list of things they want to see and do. Yes, Paris is, you know, has magnificent monuments and museums. And of course you want to, and if you only have that amount of time, but sometimes it's just like, okay, stop, take an hour and sit in the cafe and enjoy your drink, your food, whatever it is, and watch the world, watch people walk by. And just take an hour where you're just stopping, you know what I mean? And instead of frantic, frenetic pacing, just tell yourself, I need to just stop and I need to take in where I am, you know?
I really, really agree with you. I mean, you know, just the other day, we were in Maryland. I don't know, we're recording this while in Maryland, but we were on the other side of Maryland, the Chesapeake Bay. And we were staying on the River Wye and watching osprey's nest. But, you know, we're doing this very immersive pet sitting life, and you live like the locals, literally. And so our experiences are a little different that way. But, of course, we want to do our parks, and we had that opportunity to meet a friend who's like, oh, let's go meet at this restaurant. And I was like, we want to go to the park. It's sunny, man. Like, you know, we got to do our park. And this is a friend that, you know, has been on our radio shows for over 16 years, and finally get to meet him. And we went, and he brought the wine. I'm not saying what part, because I'm not saying if it's legal or not. But we brought the sandwiches. I said, okay, you're doing this, we'll do this. And we had a choice of, oh, well, we could, you know, make them ourselves, or we can go get someone else, or go support a local vendor, which is what we did. And when you went in, they were famous for their chicken. And this is the menu of their specialty chicken sandwiches, or you could get the chicken, all these different things. Well, I went and got each one of their specialty things. None of us knew which one was which, but we all, you know, it's like, here, you get this. And it was so good. And we just sat on this bench with our chicken sandwiches, watching people in the lake. We watched a bald eagle hunt. We had all these birds, people kayaking. It was so gorgeous. And it was at that moment, like, I was like, this is good, where you can just sit. And he's telling us all about the area that we're in, and just really understanding what it's like to even just, like, if we lived here, like, I would come here. You know what I mean? It was like that kind of local life where, and we were there for a couple hours, and it was like, wow, I'm so glad we did it that way. And I'm not knocking restaurants. Go to the restaurants and everything too. I mean, we supported one, but it just those moments of like, oh, just chill out, like you were saying in Paris or wherever. But you know, we were on the Chesapeake Bay. We always hear about the Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah.
And until you get there, and now we didn't even realize we were there before, like the Bay Area itself. Why? Because we were going too fast before.
Right.
And so now, this trip, we're like, oh, this is where we were at. Look at all of this. And we've actually done interviews on the region before, and now it's all coming into perspective.
And
so
I think, being just very conscious of the moment and where you are, you know, there's the slow food movement. Well, you know, slow travel is the same thing. And I think there's been a shift with a lot of people to really value the quality over the quantity when they go somewhere. And maybe they didn't get to see something that's, you know, really noticeable, you know, really noted and famous, but they got to see other things, or they got to experience something that would be much more memorable to them, you know, where maybe they were sitting in a cafe and maybe they had a conversation with a local, you know, or they were sitting on a bench and saw wildlife, or whatever it is.
That's or a band that came into the cafe and started playing. Like, they're not, you're not getting me out. I'm not leaving.
Right.
And this is, you know, the barge cruise thing. This is the other part that I think is so cool. I'm not knocking any cruise lines or anybody, but for me, this is more my style, because when you do those other ones, like Nancy and I almost missed our ship coming back. In the Bahamas, we almost missed our ship. And that's because I was drinking Bahama Mamas and there was a steel drum player in the plaza playing steel drums, this little kid, and then this whole band. And I'm like, I've got the Bahama Mamas, I'm not driving anywhere. And there's this amazing band, and we almost lost our way home. And that's because I was having such a good time. So, I mean, it was a great trip. And that was a memorable story from all that. And then we had to do the captain's dinner, and I'd had Bahama Mama, so I was lively. But and I was all, let's roll. But this is the thing with this barge cruise. I feel like it's not like, oh my God, the barge cruise is going to go without you. You know, and maybe you have to watch the lock thing. You know what I mean? So you do have to pay attention, but
they're never going to leave without you. Believe me, this is not the kind of
situation where they ever leave without you. you can cycle your way to the next lock. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're not going to die.
You'll never miss the barge. Believe me.
You're not going to be stuck in another country while your ship cruises off without you. So,
they take such good care of you. You know what I mean? It's just that, you know, it's so nice. It's really nice once in a while to have somebody or some buddies to take that good care of you.
Oh, it's nice to be taken care of. We all want to feel cared about, you know, and I think that's what the word hospitality is about. So everyone, europeanwaterways.com is the site to go to. I really want to go. I'm hungry. I want wine now after this conversation. I want some cheese because, you know, and I just feel like I need to go to a water view now. And I want to go on a barge. I really want to do this. Like, I can't stand
it. Do it. I will.
By golly, I will. And I'll send you photos every 5 minutes. No. So everyone, Debbie Stone, travel writer Debbie Stone, also known as the Fire Monkey, is here every fourth Tuesday here on Big Blend Radio. So keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Again, her article is linked in the show notes and is also up on blendradioandtv.com. Thank you so much, Fire Monkey. We can't wait for our next time with you. We're going to be talking more about Europe, right?
Absolutely. This time we're going to head towards Portugal.
you went to my bucket list city, Lisbon. And I'm so happy you did, but I'm also jealous. All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.